Dexter O'Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hi. Now, I know you've heard the name Phil Spector over the last few days, and most of you don't know who that is. You've heard, it's funny how the news is reported, nobody really explains anything. You've heard that he was some person who produced records, right? And other than that, you don't know who he is. Only members of my generation and older, those of us who are 112 and older, know who Phil Spector is. Those, in other words, who are as old as Phil Spector. I'd like to say at this time I'm not as old as Phil Spector. But I do remember his music, and because I grew up in the 60s, and I came of age as a teenager in the 60s, and Phil Spector, just so you know, was a record producer during that period of time. Now, what is a record producer? What is that? You hear these people say, well, he's the who produced your record. What the hell does that mean, who produced your record? The musicians produced the record, didn't they? They went into the studio, and they played the instruments, and they produced the record. Well, not exactly, because, yes, they went into the studio and they played the record, they played the musical instruments, but there's a guy who will advise them as to what instrument might sound better than another, what song they might want to put on the album as opposed to another. Do they want to have a fuller or a thinner sound? Do they want to have a... And he gives them these ideas, and of course the musicians ultimately... Well, not always, but if the musicians have the power, they can make the decision. Or the producer many times has the power. He just tells them to shut up. He's going to do what he wants with the record. Phil Spector was one of those guys who produced these records. He would get an artist, he'd take him into the studio, and he'd do that. And he had a thing called the Wall of Sound. Now, you may not know who Phil Spector is, but you, a lot of you probably have heard this song. And I had my engineer, Craig Taylor, dub this off so you could hear this song. This was produced by Phil Spector, and I'm sure many of you recognize it.
You lost a love.
Chris is shaking his head. No, it doesn't ring a bell. I don't know what that is.
You lost a love.
Chris Pelton, by the way, is in a band. Anyway,
gone.
Chris is like, who is that? Oh, that's Depeche Mode. Those are the Righteous Brothers. They're from Santa Ana. They were a couple of white boys who pioneered what was called blue-eyed soul, and Phil Spector produced their music with what was called the Wall of Sound. Did you hear all that big musical kind of compressed sound? He pioneered that. And he produced the Ronettes and all these people. All right. So anyway, big deal, big shot, made a lot of music, right? Cut to the year 2003. Somebody winds up dead on a floor in this guy's house out in Alhambra. Now, I've been hearing for years what a genius Phil Spector is. I've been hearing for years what an unusual personality he is. And I've been hearing for years what a, you know, a real kind of evil genius the cat. All this stuff, you know, that Hollywood likes to revel in. And the other day they find a woman dead in his house because he was waving a gun around. He has a gun. He's one of these little guys with a gun. You ever seen these little men with guns? That's Phil Spector. It's probably you'd walk into his house and see a big pile of coke on his coffee table with guns everywhere. John Lennon, he tried to produce a John Lennon record in the 70s, which, by the way, sucked. And Lennon couldn't stand working with the guy because he was waving a gun around all the time. And apparently he pulled a gun on one of his wives. This is Phil Spector, this genius. Now a woman's dead. Now, this woman who died was, they called her a C-list, B-list actress. Her name was Lana Clarkson. And I don't know her work, and that's not important. The fact is she was a hardworking person who apparently he met, and apparently she went to his house, and allegedly something went wrong. Now, I'm not saying Phil Spector shot her, but I'm going to say this just so you guys kind of get my read on this. So you don't have to know anything more about this Phil Spector story. These artists, Michael Jackson's another one, who we fawn over, who we worship at the feet of, who we call geniuses, who we say are misunderstood, who we say need handling, who we say must have, you know, he requires melon balls and bottled flavored raspberry water, and there can't be any blue in the room, and all of this stuff. These artists grow up in a culture where they are so pampered that they begin to think that they are geniuses. and they begin to think that they really are special and that they really do need handling. And maybe somewhere along the line they buy a gun and they just start waving it around and shooting it because everybody puts up with it, right? Everyone said, well, he's a genius. We have to put up with him shooting his gun. And the next thing you know, somebody's dead. Just like this punk, who was the basketball player who was showing the chauffeur around the house and he had a gun? Jason Williams. Some punk that plays basketball for a living. Some two-bit punk who plays basketball. I don't care how much money he makes. Two-bit punk with a limousine, a car, and a gun. Now a man's dead. Because this punk makes money playing some stupid game that seven-foot freaks play called basketball. And now a man's dead. Because this guy's told that he's special. And he needs handling. And he's got to get his sleep. And he's got to get his beauty rest. And he's got to be home for curfew, and let's give him this, and let's give him that. These people start believing this about themselves. Next thing you know, they're killing people. They kill people. Now we got Michael Jackson over here. See, understand, guys, please listen. I'm in this business. I'm in the entertainment business. You could take these shots at me, because I make a damn good living. And I have people here who assist me in what I do. I try to be mindful of what it is that I do for a living, and I try not to disrespect people. But, you know, some people probably think I'm a total a-hole, and, you know, they're entitled to their opinion. Like Chris, for instance, he's nodding his head in there. Now, the fact of the matter remains, for the last 100 years, the entertainer in America has had a status that was once held by scientists, doctors, etc. It was the entertainer that somehow was elevated in our country to the highest level of respect over the last 100 years. Now, it's coming to an end. The next 100 years, I believe, will represent math, science. I think that science is going to come back on its own over the next 100 years. And this may be the death knell of the celebrity, waving guns around and shooting people, or letting little boys sleep in your bed. And it may be the final death knell of celebrity run amok, but the fact is it's happening. This guy, Michael Jackson, who's a freak of nature, who is a self-hating African-American, who can't stand the color of his skin, can't stand the look of his nose and his lips and his face, hates being black, but pulls out the fact that he's an African-American when it suits him, like when he was dumping all over Sony, which, for as far as I know, they deserve it. I wouldn't know Tony Mottola if I stepped over the guy drunk in an alley someplace, but maybe he deserves all the crap that he dumped on him. But otherwise, I don't care. But this guy Jackson's the last guy I ought to be calling racism because he looks like some bleached out freak. Now, this guy's sleeping with little boys? And guess what? It's okay because, well, you know, he's a genius. And we have to understand him. And we got to do all this stuff, and we got to do all that stuff. Somewhere along the line, these people who are about as important as a monkey, as an organ grinder with a monkey, basketball players, football players, actors, talk show hosts, people who really add nothing to the culture other than boredom killing, as the great Howard Beale said in the movie Network. Just boredom killing, that's all we do. That's all that a basketball player does. Just allows us to take 3 hours out of our lives to sit back, forget our troubles, put our hands behind our head and watch a ball game. If it's good, I'm happy. If it sucks, I want my money back. And the movies are the same and a talk show is the same. We add nothing more than that to the culture, and yet we have been elevated to a status whereby now we're waving guns around, people are dead in the foyer, little boys are being slept with, you know, driving down the street drunk and running into garbage cans, and this guy, Robert Downey Jr., what, you know, here's a guy that's, everybody's talking about him like he's the second coming of Jesus Christ, and as far as I know, he did one really good movie. He was in a couple of TV shows. He's got the whole country of Columbia rammed up his nose. He's staggering down a street in Culver City, and what a genius he is. And I guess it's okay, but when people wind up dead or kids wind up getting molested, then you got to draw the line. You got to draw the line. You got to, as a consumer, as a member of the audience, you have to understand those people work for you. You don't work for them. They work for you. They work for you. You don't want to go see their movie, they ain't cramming all that rock up their nose. You don't want to buy his records, then maybe he ain't got Never Never Land or whatever the hell that fairyland that he lives in out there. They work for you. And they should not be allowed to feel so empowered and set, like such geniuses that they're pulling pistols on people. This little dwarf Phil Spector, this meaningless little midget who hasn't done anything of any significance in 30 years, and I don't care if the guy produced the greatest records that the world has ever known, he's still just a little midget living out in a castle in Alhambra. He's pulling guns on people. And now he says he's crazy. He gave an interview with the some limey newspaper, and he said, well, you know, I'm psycho. Yeah, sure. Right. That's the way to get that image going there, Phil. You're psycho. Sure you are. You're about as nutty. You know, you don't know how much a whole lot of zeros are. That's how nutty you are. So tonight they're going to see Michael Jackson on TV, right? Is he going to do that interview? We're going to get a load of listening to him. And that guy that did the interview is going to fawn all over. He's going to ask him about why you want to be a freak. And he'll explain it because he's Peter Pan and he lives in Never Never Land. And I read some of the transcript. You're going to love it. Michael, why are you a bleached out freak? I'm Peter Pan. I live in Never Never Land. I'm just a child at heart. Really? Okay. You know what? I think that Phil Spector, I don't know what Michael Jackson should do. What Phil Spector should do is the honorable thing. You should do the honorable thing, Phil. Close the door to your office, put the barrel of that gun in your mouth, and just take the back of your head off with it. I think just do the honorable thing. Blow your own brains out there in your house. Michael, you should go into exile on the island of Dr. Moreau or something. I don't know what you ought to do. I think you ought to commit yourself to the California State Nut Ward up there in Atascadero. That's what you should do. I think our problems are solved if Michael Jackson just signs the papers, goes into the nut house, and Phil Spector blows his brains out in his Mercedes. Everything's good. What do you think?
You lost and love.
That's me.
Whoa.
1-800-449-8686. Yeah, I've lost the loving feeling. I just don't have
to.
Oh, shut up. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
All right, I you know, I'm told Scott Peterson has called us back. I'm not sure. Scott Peterson, as you know, is the husband of the missing woman, Lacey Peterson, who was last seen December the 24th. She went to walk her dog. He went fishing, quote-unquote, up at the Berkeley Marina in Northern California. When he returned, he says that Lacey wasn't there. He doesn't know where she is. Funny, he sold her car, tried to sell her house. And yesterday on our show, asked us if anybody wanted a nice dog. So, Mr. Peterson, I where are you now, sir?
Phil, I've called your program because I want to talk to you about the new command centers we're setting up.
But where are you? Because I'm hearing music.
I'm in Mexico.
You're in Mexico. How nice.
I'm on a business trip. Thank you very much. I'm on a business trip. Because the conclusion you want to jump to is I'm down here partying.
Well, I'm hearing music. I'm listening. Where are you?
I've stopped to have something cold to drink. I've been walking up and down the streets of Cabo, giving Lacey's picture to all the merchants.
In case she's down in Mexico, huh?
Yeah, maybe if she got... You know something? It would be nice to talk to you without your cynicism. It would be nice...
I don't believe she's in Mexico. I don't think you're down in Mexico... Look, you say you're in Mexico looking for your wife.
I've been passing out her picture, yes.
Is there anybody there with you?
Why do you ask?
Well, I want to know if there's any proof that you're actually passing out pictures, or are you sitting down there in Sammy Hagar's bar having yourself a couple of cold ones?
No, I'm not down in Sammy Hagar's. I'm passing out Lacey's picture. No, there's no one with me.
Nobody.
No one that I brought from the United States. Is that what you're asking?
Is there anybody with you?
There's no one from America with me.
Is there any human being with you from any part of the world?
Boy, you're something else.
No, really, is there any human being with you?
There's a very nice woman who's helping me.
I see. And she's from, let me guess, Mexico?
Well, where do you think she'd be from? You said that there's no Americans. There's no Americans. Yes, she's a she's a nice young Mexican lady, and she's helping me pass out the pictures of Lacey because I miss my wife very much, and I want her back.
Oh, God, you sicken me with your phony baloney tears. You know that? Hey, Scott, I want to...
Well, you see, you've never lost a wife, so you don't know how painful it can be.
No, because I never killed my wife.
There you go again. There you go again. You're just begging for a lawsuit. You know, that's what I like about you, Phil. You walk on the wild side.
Hey, Scott, let me see. How much did you pay that grocery clerk in Longview, Washington, to lie about claiming to see Lacey, or are you boffing her, too?
You want to know something? The money I paid her was a reason. I mean, I didn't pay anybody.
Aha! You paid her, didn't you?
No, I didn't. No.
Are you boffing her?
I don't know what you mean by boff. You know you have a vile mouth.
Oh, I got a vile mouth. You don't know what I mean by boff, but a young Mexican lady is helping you pass out pictures of Lacey.
Yes, she is. And she's a nice lady.
What's her name?
What's your name?
Well, yeah, see, now you got to ask her.
No, I did not. I asked her if I... I said that...
What's her name?
Her name is... What? Her name is...
Yeah, you're asking her, huh?
I don't speak Spanish. What's your name?
Yeah.
What are you driving at anyway?
You don't know her name, man. You just gave her a $50 bill.
I gave her a 20. I mean, I did not give her any money. And
all right, a 20.
No, I did not. No, I did not. No, I did not. No, I did not.
I want to ask you something because I hear that your parents, not your parents, her parents, the car that you sold, they bought back for a dollar.
What?
The car, Lacey's Land Rover that you sold, her parents bought it back from the dealer for a dollar. So sickened were they that you sold their daughter's car.
You're kidding.
What a pig. You are. You're a pig.
What? Oh, I'm a pig because I had a couple of tamales for lunch. Is that it?
I asked you a question. What do you think about the parents buying back the car?
They bought the car back.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as it's out of my driveway, I don't care. Look, all I wanted to do was space to park my boat, so... I get another round of Cuervo? I wanted space to...
Oh, you want another round of Cuervo, too?
You know something? I'm stopping for something cold. I'm not allowed to have a drink. Look, you say that Stacy's parents bought the car back. Fine, great, I don't know. I just needed room for the boat, that's all. That's why I get it out of the driveway. I'm glad. You know what? It touches me. It really...
Yeah, it really touches you, huh?
No, now that you tell me, a tear is coming to my eye that the... thank God... Thank God they bought it back, because now I can go over to their house and look at it, and it reminds me of
your wife?
Yeah, of my wife. And it reminds me...
And what's your name again?
You know, I had it here somewhere. Lacey. It reminds me of Lacey. And, is that... Or is it Gracie?
I'm not going to tell you. What's her name?
I think it's Gracie, isn't it?
No, it's Lacey.
Well, now you're lying because you just want to confuse me. It's Stacy, isn't it?
No, it's Lacey.
I don't have to get a paper.
Yeah, you look in a paper to find out what your wife's name is.
The fact that I'm innocent and I'm on business in Mexico and I'm having fun and you're not, that's what's pissing you off.
Hey, Scott, 30% of all women murdered are murdered by their husbands. What do you think about that?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, I think it's a trend. I didn't, it's not good. So, wait a minute. Wait a second. Now, that means you think I killed my wife?
Bingo! 30% of all women murdered are murdered by their husbands. Now, how do you feel about that?
You know something, pal? I'm in Mexico. I'm going to knock myself off a piece, have some breakfast, and then I'm going to, you know, have a cocktail. And I'll feel sorry for you. Now, I'd like to ask... Hey, there's O.J. Get an autograph, O.J. You! I'd like to ask you if you'd like to be a part of our command center.
Yeah, where are you opening up, man? In Cabo San Lucas?
Yeah, in Acapulco.
No, thank you. Get O.J.'s autograph.
Yeah, I'm gonna... Hey, O.J. You!
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show and...
You got an owner for that dog?
We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
All right. Yesterday we had R.C. Collins on the show. He's a cadet at the Bradley Military Academy. And he's looking forward to going to war against Iraq. But he and some other cadets would like a resolution passed whereby they can resign, they can actually quit, and just go get on a helicopter and be taken out of the field of battle if things get a little too hairy and they get scared.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
What kind of kid is this?
I want to be able to go home if it's scary. What a pussy.
Listen, young man, listen to me. If you are afraid to be in the military, then I suggest you get out now.
I'm not afraid. I don't mind going over and I'll eat my own guts. But what if I'm trapped and surrounded? What if you're trapped and surrounded? Then you do the best you can till reinforcements arrive, you little piece of walking excrement.
You act like you are the only one going over there or something, and you're not.
Well,
if my daughter goes over, do you think she'd raise her hand and say, oh, I'm afraid I want to go home?
Maybe.
What kind of person does this? And
ma'am,
another thing.
If I got stuck in a foxhole with your daughter, well,
my daughter would protect you with her life, mister. And
what if we
what if we
became romantically involved?
Yeah,
what are
I
you talking
so.
About, you idiot? You're in the middle of a freaking war.
That's right. Well, your brain,
you know something, son? You are a butt log with legs.
What?
Yeah. I just
it's unbelievable. It's really. You know what, Beverly? Your daughter is in what, the Army?
Yes, she is.
And
where's
she stationed?
She's a sergeant, and she's at Fort Carson, Colorado.
Oh, she may hear us. We're on in Denver, Colorado, and in places in Colorado. What's her name? Beverly? No, your daughter's name is what?
Wendy.
Wendy?
Hey, Wendy, I'm R.C. Semper Fi. What? You're not a Marine, you little walking load.
Anyway, this kid. Another thing I just want to say.
Yes, ma'am.
How dare you insult Colin Powell? How dare you do this? And you're just a cadet? And you're talking to this man about this man like that? If I was Colin Powell, kid, you'd be on your way out now.
Wait a minute. His name's Colin, not Colin.
Colin's
what you push your load through. But,
you'd be on your way out.
Oh, man.
Because you're very... I
would your daughter go see Lord of the Rings with me? Are you making fun of this woman? I'm sorry? Are you making fun of this lady? Because I'll tell you something, son. This woman gave birth to a young lady who is serving her country. And Beverly, my name is Lloyd, by the way. Forgive me for not introducing myself.
Yes,
I was in the Korean conflict. I've been out in California now 40 years. Where are you living?
I live in Vermont.
Oh, really? Where? I was in Vermont once skiing. It's lovely there.
I live in a small town called Georgia, about 28 miles from Burlington.
You guys know that Colin Powell comes from Uranus? All right, I'm going to kill this piece of garbage. Where do you live?
All right, okay. Beverly, you're very kind to call us and to give us that piece of personal insight.
I just want
Beverly, are you married? And I don't mean to be forward. I really...
Yes, I am.
Oh, you
my
are?
Husband's
right.
A,
well,
my
so
husband's
am I. So am I, but I didn't think it mattered.
Okay.
My husband's a firefighter, and I am too.
He does what?
He's a firefighter.
I'll bet he is.
And
he's a firefighter, really, in the...
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's a fireman, and I am too. But I just want this kid to know my daughter may be going over there, too.
She got a big hose?
And
all right, you little punk, you dirty punk.
And I just hope people call and put this kid in his place.
Nah, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. Our country's in good hands, Beverly. Thank you very much for your call.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Has he got a big hose, huh? Yeah, I said that. Too bad you can't come up with a funny line like that. Boy, if I was in the same room with you. Yeah, you'd probably want to make love to me, you perv. You dirty little... Where is he, Mr. Hendry?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, I want to kill him.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There you go. That's R.C. and Lloyd. Man, they are... We're going to have them on throughout the escalating tensions in Iraq because they represent both sides of this ever so fascinating issue. Should we go to war and protect our country, or should we not and allow Al-Qaeda to blow up another building? What do you think? The fat's in the fire. Dustin Hoffman has weighed in. Dustin Hoffman, he of The Graduate, he of Outbreak, he of whatever the hell else he did. Dustin Hoffman says... The president, Rain Man, yeah, where he played a retard. Yeah, he was great. Anyway, Hoffman says the president is manipulating the grief of the country. His real motives for going to war are power and oil. He spoke out after receiving a lifetime achievement accolade at the Fifth Film Awards in London. For me as an American, the most painful aspect of this is that I believe that administration has taken the events of 9/11 and has manipulated the grief of the country, and I think that's reprehensible. I don't think, like many of us, that the reasons we've been given for going to war are the honest reasons. If they're saying it's about the fact that they have biological weapons and might have nuclear weapons, and that gives us the liberty to preempt and strike because we think they might hit us, then what prevents Pakistan from attacking India? What prevents India from attacking Pakistan? What prevents us from going into North Korea? Well, it's a good point. What prevents Pakistan from attacking India, Dustin, is that India would destroy Pakistan. You see? Do you understand? It's about making hay while the sun shines, my brother. It's about doing what you can do while you can do it. It's about ensuring that people who want to create life and who want to move the world forward have the opportunity to do that. And while we have the power, the United States of America, we have a moral obligation to destroy evil people who are trying to kill us. Now, if you think it's in my imagination, go back to that September 11th that you were just referring to. They butchered up 3,000 of us. There are reports that Al-Qaeda is planning something else. They've murdered 200, 300 people in Bali, most of them Australians, and they were just so devastated when they found out that Australians are not Americans, because they're so bright down there in the Al-Qaeda, they thought, well, they're white, they got to be American or something like it, and they were Australians, and the guy's like, oh, wow, really? Yeah. See, Australians say fast as lager, and we say Foster's. Oh, okay. Hope you get it right the next time, you dumbass. So they butcher up 200 extra people down there in Bali, destroy the economy of an entire part of the world. So that's why we've decided as a country, hey, we got a great idea. We're not going to put up with terrorism anymore. See, taking a machine gun into an airport and murdering people, shooting somebody and throwing them off of a cruise ship, shooting someone and throwing them off of an airplane, hijacking airplanes, taking over embassies. This has been going on for decades. The world has had enough. The world's had enough. The world now is taking what is called preemptive measures. You call it preemptive. It's 30 years too late, as far as I'm concerned. 30 years too late. Maybe you recall the Israeli athletes getting slaughtered like cattle in 1972 in Munich. But I suppose with guys like you, it must be their fault, right? Because they're oppressive and they're horrible and they're taking over the Pakistanis' land. Never mind, there's 500 million Arabs to 5 million Jews. And the fact is they were attacked, not the other way around. But we can discuss that if you're ready. It's 30 years too late, as far as I'm concerned. It finally came home to America on September 11, 2001. The rest of the world had to deal with it. When it got here, we decided the best thing to do is to find them where they're, whatever nest they're in, whatever maggot hill they live on, that's where you go, you take some Raid, you spray it, and you kill them. The Iraqi people are suffering today because of Saddam Hussein, stupid. Don't think anything else. The Iraqi people are starving today and are in the way that they're in because of the guy that runs their country. And people can't handle that. They can't handle it. They want it to be America's fault. It's like something we created. We didn't create it. We didn't create it. We might have given some help, but we didn't create it. Maybe our foreign policy in the past was a little screwy. Fact of the matter is, that is not an excuse to sit on your hands and sit on your ass and let people slaughter your citizens. Well, you know what? You guys helped Iraq in the 80s. Okay, so what does that mean, man? You guys helped Saddam Hussein in the 80s. Okay, and so therefore you shouldn't attack him now. Oh, I see. And then let him fund Al-Qaeda and they can come over and kill us again, right? Well, he doesn't have anything to do with Al-Qaeda. Well, there is intelligence that indicates that he does. And the fact of the matter is he gives money to the families of people who are suicide bombers. Doesn't that give you some hint that the cat is into a terrorist kind of assault and the fact he hates our guts?
Well, there's no proof.
No proof. Well, I guess we can't provide any proof. We got a hole in Wash in New York. You can take a look at that. Maybe if we get 3,000 more butchered up, maybe that'll convince you. I don't know what other proof you guys need, you know? Hey, Hoffman, just because you're an actor doesn't mean you got to sound like a dumbass, okay? You can actually have an opinion that's got some thought behind it. And by the way, Papillon really sucked. Otherwise, I like your movies. A lot. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Phil.
How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. You have a great show. Love your opinions. How do you argue with somebody when they say, well, any aggression against Iraq's just going to cause more terrorist problems? I mean, you say, do we need another September 11th to convince you? Well, they just say we brought it on ourselves. I don't understand that.
You know, I don't understand when people say we brought it on ourselves. I understand what they mean. I know exactly what they mean, that our policy around the world created enemies. It doesn't necessarily, by the way, make our policy wrong that we've created enemies, but we've created enemies. When you are big and you're powerful and you're wealthy, you're a target. The United States has become a target because we have influenced a lot of things around the world, and not always in a positive way, sometimes very negatively. We've supported corrupt governments, we've supported dictatorships, etc. We've made mistakes. This country, unlike any country in the history of the world, is happy to lay its mistakes and its errors out on the table for everybody to see. We have had investigation after investigation. We've had forum after forum talking about how the United States' foreign policy has been at times, very corrupt foreign policy. We look into our hearts. We try to change. But the fact is, you are no man at all. Not you, Rob, but I mean anybody. You're not a man at all. If you say, all right, 3,000 dead, we deserved because of the mistakes we've made. And we should just sit on our hands now and hope that they don't attack us again, because we're such bad people and we're such a horrible country that we deserve to have 3,000 people murdered. That's the thinking of a coward.
Yeah, I agree.
If you allow yourself to be bullied, I don't care what the mistakes were that we made in the past. You do not allow people to come onto your own soil and to murder your own people without doing something to correct the problem. Terrorism, whether we're wrong or not, terrorism isn't something that we're the only people who have to deal with. I mean, every country in the world has had to deal with it, as I said, for over 30, 40 years. The time has come to stop it. If they want to correct the ills of the world, then we're going to have to do it in a better form than machine-gunning people in airports or flying planes into buildings. So what we've decided to do is go right to the source. And the first source is Iraq and Saddam Hussein. His outlaw possession of weapons of mass destruction, biological and chemical. He attempted to liquidate a fellow member of the United Nations in 1990. He attempted to assassinate a president of the United States. Let me ask you a question. Does that bother you at all that Saddam Hussein attempted to murder a former president?
Oh, yeah.
It bugs me. I mean, I don't know. It's something about me. I don't like it. When somebody tries to murder a president of the United States, it kind of bothers me. He attempted to murder a president of the United States. So we've decided that we're going to go there. We're going to annihilate him and his nest of thieves and spies, so that it makes the terror organizations around the world, especially in that part of the country, it makes it far more difficult for them to do business, far more difficult for them to have places to hide, far more difficult for them to have places to train and to launder money, etc. With Iraq out of the way, that's one less place that scum has got to go and hide. Now you talk about North Korea. There are a bunch of big mouths over there, but they've been big mouths for years, talking about how they're going to rain fire and hell down on us, just the same way the Iraqis have. We'll deal with them maybe in a different way. You see, this idiot Dustin Hoffman says, well, if you're going to do that to Iraq, why not do it to North Korea? All in good time. all in good time. Everybody, you know, just take a chill, because what's good for Iraq may not be necessarily good for North Korea. Neutralizing Iraq in this manner may not necessarily be the way you want to approach North Korea. But don't worry about it. We're going to deal with every last one of these countries that have been allowed for years to train, to trade with, to do commerce with, to develop weapons for, terrorist organizations, outlaw organizations. These governments are going to pay the price now. Now, this guy Hussein's the first. This freak Kim with his high heel shoes and his Elvis Presley haircut over in North Korea, he's next on the list. Now, he can scream all he wants about how it's going to be the biggest mistake that we've ever made if we come after him. Let me tell you what's going to happen. The minute the bombs start hitting Baghdad, there will be mass defections of Iraqi soldiers. Mass defections. There will also be, within days, a mass defection of the Iraqi command structure. Generals, I'm talking about. Because this war is different from the Gulf War. The Gulf War was about getting them out of Kuwait. This war is about liquidating Saddam Hussein's leadership of that country. And that means anybody that stands in the way of that is also going to take it in the neck. And those guys can't be that stupid. You will see mass defections of the regular army, and you're going to see some of the generals defect too. And as tough-talking as North Korea is, the minute you start getting tough with them, I'm not saying that the exact same thing's going to happen with their regular army, but I will tell you this, they'll start pulling in the fences a little bit, man. Now, is it going to provoke more terrorist attacks in this country? Maybe. But what the hell were we doing on September the 11th? Were we involved in attacking a country then? September the 11th of 2001, if memory serves, we were still trying to bring Israel and the Palestinian Authority together to bring peace to the Middle East. That's the horrible crime that the United States has committed. And by the way, Amnesty International has got a dossier on Iraq that would make you vomit. However, I must say, in all honesty, they have a dossier on the United States, too. And, Janice, you'll be interested to know, they have a dossier on Canada. Yeah, police brutality in Canada, the way they treat native people. Oh, yes, and they have a dossier on police brutality in France. They have a dossier on police brutality in England. In other words, Amnesty International compiles every last instance of police aggression and brutality around the world. So America, France, Canada, we're all under the microscope. It just so happens that Iraq is the single country that is still testing chemical and biological weapons on prisoners of war the same way Adolf Hitler did, in a way that has been outlined by the Geneva Convention for decades. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy. Now, Phil Henry.
Jeff Dowder is a intern at the Caltech, California Institute of Technology. He also is interning over at JPL, and he joins us. Jeff, we want to talk about the space shuttle, and we want to talk about what you know, what you have found out from your sources concerning NASA, and what caused the Columbia to break apart like that. What have you found out now? And we're a little bit... it's kind of late in the day, but what have you found out now that you could point to as possibly concrete evidence?
Well, Phil, my sources tell me that NASA right now is scrambling at this hour to come up with an excuse for why the space shuttle disintegrated on approach, because my sources also tell me NASA is covering up what they already know is the reason. And let me repeat that they already know what is the reason. And if this information got out, they'd have a hard time getting funding for future projects. You know that President Bush is very pro-space and definitely wants money committed for the space program from Congress. There's every likelihood that would not happen if this news got out.
Jeff, you gave me some detail. I want you to give me all the details, okay?
All right, from what I understand, my sources tell me that the space shuttle Columbia, at an elevation of 207,000 feet and change, I forget the exact figure, Phil, traveling at a speed in excess of 21,000 miles an hour, which is 18 times the speed of light, at that rate, my sources tell me that it's possible NASA calculated the shuttle was coming in too hot and at too shallow an angle. Now, they knew they were going to undershoot the runway at the Cape coming in at that angle.
All right, so they had figured that they were not going to hit the runway at the Cape. They're going to come in short.
That is correct. They were worried that possibly they'd come down somewhere in the metropolitan Orlando, Florida area, which was an acceptable risk, but they also were afraid that a Disney World is in the Orlando area, and that would be a lot worse, and a lot of people, obviously tourists, would be in its path. My sources tell me that the crew decided to use a contingency that is available to them, but has never been used in the history of American spaceflight, and that is to activate the onboard computer, which is codenamed Mother, and that time activate the auto-destruct, which would then essentially self-destruct the shuttle.
Okay, you understand what you're saying.
The source that I talked to claims to be highly placed.
You're saying they essentially blew themselves up in order to avoid civilian casualties from the shuttle undershooting the runway.
That is correct. And NASA has been engaging in the last 5-6 days in looking around for a good excuse. And so far, you saw the headline today, the mystery deepens. They're not coming up with anything that anybody's buying. First they said, well, it was a heat tile. Someone said, well, that's not cool because no rubber sponge thing's going to make a dent in it like that. Then they said it was something else.
Look, at 207,000 feet and across the country, how did they know that they would undershoot the runway?
Well, the onboard mother computer tells them, and at that point they realize they're basically toast. I mean, at that point, that
maybe we could use another word, you know?
I'm sorry, forgive me, but I mean, they realize that they're basically, when the computer tells them they're undershooting the runway, they realize that they are not going to make the runway. The shuttle is not like an airplane. You can't go back around and try another approach. You got to hit it the first time.
I understand.
So at that point, they have to decide where the best place is to blow the ship up so that the debris won't damage anything valuable. And this is meant, and it's no disrespect to the Texas people, but they decided, A, it should not be California because of the industry and obviously the high concentration of peoples. B, certainly not Florida, again, because of population concentration. Texas represented the broadest area and the area with the least amount of anything really important that's going on, so they activated auto-destruct. And now it's off the mother computer.
Can you tell me who you're... So they auto-destructed the shuttle over Texas?
Yes, sir.
On purpose?
That's what my sources tell me. Yes, sir.
We're talking with Jeff Dowder. He is reporting from Pasadena, California today. That's where JPL is located and Caltech. He is saying that the shuttle blew up on purpose, that there's an auto-destruct, that the... that it's possible it's an auto-destruct, right, Jeff?
No, there is. But it's, and I'm saying it's a possibility that the pilots, the crew themselves, activated the auto-destruct.
Because they were undershooting the runway at the Cape, and they didn't want to crash into Orlando or anything like that, so they blew the ship up, essentially.
Essentially, that's what they did. And
can you tell me who your sources are inside NASA or JPL or Caltech?
I have to protect my sources, but I can tell you there are very significant people, and they're inside because that's a journalistic ethic. I can't tell you my sources. A lot of people remember Watergate. You never betray a source. But I will tell you one of them is Toby Vaux, and he saw some papers that do indicate that the mother computer advised him to activate the blow-up button.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Jeff Dowder. And where he is in Pasadena saying that the shuttle was blown up. It didn't disintegrate. It was an auto-destruct that was activated by the crew. And this was because they were undershooting the runway. Does anybody give any real credence to this?
Well, I think they should, Phil, because the shuttle does have auto-destruct, and they were undershooting the runway. It is a possibility that NASA doesn't want to talk about because they're going to have more people second-guessing them, more people you know, a lot of people are going to say, oh, why would the astronauts do that? That's crazy. Suicide's a sin or some other stupid comment. The astronauts did it because they were great people and because they didn't want to blow up Orlando or, I mean, crash into Disneyland or whatever is over there. They wanted to make sure that no civilian casualties took place. So while I'm saying that, yeah, there's a possibility that that did not happen, I'm saying it is, why not? Because they haven't come up with anything else. That's what I'm saying.
Well, okay, so your sources are saying, why not? Because
they have not come up with no other answer, and that's a very good answer. I realize I'm talking, one of the things you have to understand, Phil, this is scientific, and most of your listeners are not going to understand it. It's very technical data, and a lot of listeners are just going to have to sit back and just kind of take it in and learn a little bit about how the space program works. I've been around the space program now about 7 years, and I've seen everything from, you know, I seen the one time the Mir space station disintegrated, and I've seen a lot of stuff. So the space program is something that the average person that's listening to your show right now, they don't have two clues about. But if they listen carefully, I can teach them about how NASA was desperately trying to keep the space program afloat, and if the shuttle took out Orlando or some town like that, the program may have been shut down, period. So
And the idea that the astronauts had to blow up the shuttle in order for it not to crash into Florida would not get the funding from Congress?
Oh, no. I mean, you'd have all these people, I mean, you know, like I say, these regular people in Congress just going, you know, going ape crap about, you know, swinging around like monkeys in a cage going, no, we can't give them no more money because look what happened. But I've been around the space program. I can tell you right now, you know, it's very intense. You got to have balls of steel, but it's a great program.
All right, tell me, your source was Toby Bo?
Toby, he saw some papers that indicate that the mother computer advised them to activate the blow-up button.
All right, this mother computer, you say it advised them.
That is correct. The thing is, the mother computer on a shuttle is a backup in case of human error. It reminds them not to do something or to do something. Every shuttle mission talks about the people, but the real, you know, the real mission head is the mother computer.
All right, with me is Jeff Dowder. He's presenting a story that is sounds incredible. You're saying, Jeff, it is entirely possible that the shuttle crew blew up the shuttle themselves.
Absolutely.
To keep it from undershooting the runway and causing civilian death or damage.
That is correct. I think it's very plausible. I'm trying desperately. I've been on about two different radio shows trying desperately for people to come to term and try to explain it to listeners, because regular people who are not involved in the space program don't really get it about what we're doing. You have to have a lot of math and science background.
Well, I mean, the average person knows we're flying into space to try to learn more about space.
Well, yeah, I guess, but they don't know the math that's involved, the navigation that's involved. The average person listening to your show right now has a very difficult time understanding what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is this. The shuttle, when it was coming onto the Earth, they blew it up on purpose.
Well, you don't have to talk to them like they're idiots.
No, but you do, because most of your listeners are not going to get what I'm talking about. The shuttle, they blew it up on purpose. Otherwise, it was going to undershoot the runway and kill people.
All right. This mother computer, Jeff, that flies it.
Well, see, that's what I mean. I don't know if people understand how a computer. It's called the mother computer, MOTHERCOMPUTER, for you people listening out there. And the mother computer is what flies it, lands it, conducts the experiments, retrieves data, makes repairs, and everything like that.
Well, what do the people do?
I'm sorry?
What does the crew do?
Generally, the crew will have a bag of carrot sticks, and they just walk around and take a look, make sure that, you know, all the lights are on and everything. Or they'll reboot if it gets jammed up or turn switches off when they go to bed at night. But a lot of what I've been told by a lot of astronauts is they'll cut up some carrot sticks or some celery sticks and just munch them and just walk along and make sure that, you know, all the switches are in the on position. And sometimes they can load a game, too.
And you can load a game in the mother computer?
Yeah, you can load Crazy Taxi or Myth 2, House of the Dead. But there really isn't a lot for the shuttle crew to do.
Jeff Dowder with us. Our number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The mother computer aboard the shuttle, it's entirely possible, advised the crew to auto-destruct the space shuttle so it wouldn't land or crash into Orlando.
Right, and again, I want to let people know what that means. Auto-destruct means that if there is a malfunction serious enough to hurt civilians on the ground, that means you push a button and you destroy the ship.
With the loss of all hands aboard.
That's correct. And what Phil means by all hands aboard is he means all the crew members. All the people in the spacesuits that you saw on TV, those are crew members. And those are the people that tragically would die. But the good news is they would save your life. And auto-destruct, A-U-T-O, and the reason why we say auto is it means automatic. So if you think of the word automatic, then you know that it's automatically being destructed.
Jeff Dowder with us, 1-800-449-8686.
Could I spell mother computer again for your audience?
Go ahead.
Mother computer means it's the overall lead computer. There's a lot of smaller computers connected, but the mother computer controls all of the data. That's M-O-T-H-E-R. C-O-M-P-U-T-E-R.
Now, I got to ask you again, do you think my audience or any radio audience is so stupid that they don't understand how the shuttle works?
Mr. Henry, I've been on radio shows all week long, and people don't get it. They just don't get it. And I've had to explain them how the shuttle takes off, how it flies around, you know, and what's in outer space. Most people don't know what's up in outer space. I tell them they want to know what those little white lights are. I say, those are stars, you know. And
well, the nut people aren't that stupid, are they?
Some people are, yeah. But again, I just want to let your listeners know that auto-destruct means that the people in the spacesuits who are what we call crew members, they also, unfortunately, would die. But they save the lives of other people from being hurt because the shuttle, when it blows up, all the pieces fall down and they might hit somebody. Again, all the pieces fall down and they might hit somebody. Okay? So I hope that helps people, Phil.
I appreciate it. 1-800, although I don't think you have to talk to people like they're completely stupid. You know?
You'd be surprised, Phil.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Dowder, whose theory is the shuttle crew blew the shuttle up on purpose because it was undershooting the runway and could cause damage on the ground. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
P-R-O.
I know how to spell propulsion, Mr. Dowder.
I'm sorry, but what I've dealt with, Mr. Henry, here over the last week and talking to radio audiences, trying to get them to understand what I'm talking about, is you do have to go slow because most people, while they do support the space program, are not familiar with how spaceships work or anything like that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. But the bigger issue here is you believe the space shuttle crew auto-destroyed or auto-destructed or destroyed their ship on purpose because they were undershooting the runway and it may cause casualties on the ground.
Yes, sir, that is correct. That is a very high possibility, sir, that NASA does not want people to know.
1-800-449-8686. Nikki, go ahead.
Hi. You know what? I just have to tell you that you want people to listen to your intellectual point of view, but all you can do is tell me how to spell auto and tell me that the little men wear suits that go up in the Columbia spaceship. I mean, hello, God. Who's going to buy an intellectual argument from somebody who's going to tell me how to spell auto and tell me that the men in spaceships wear spacesuits?
Okay, look, you don't understand. What I'm trying
No, I understand
to say,
perfectly clear. You haven't made an intellectual argument at all.
What I'm trying to say is those people on board that ship, they auto-destructed the ship.
And I'm not disputing that, but are you going to give me something more to go on than I don't understand what auto means?
No, I just want to be clear. You know what I mean by that.
I know exactly what you mean by that.
Okay, with all due respect, ma'am, you're a little undereducated when it comes to space, okay? I mean, unless you're in the space program, and I don't know who I'm talking to, but...
Okay, I understand that. So if you want to educate me on the space program...
All right, I'm good.
And
gonna.
If you want to
when
assume that I'm a somewhat functioning, common-sense human being, then explaining it to me and insulting my intelligence that I don't know what auto means or how to spell auto, A-U-T-O, or that the men in spaceships wear space suits when
some
they go up in the Columbia. The next thing you're going to tell me is that the motherboard is not a board game. My mom taught me how to play.
Well, ma'am, some people didn't know. I didn't mean to offend you. Some people don't know what you're talking about when I talk about, okay? What I'm trying to say is the space shuttle Columbia was coming in very hot, and what that means is very fast. It was doing 21,000 miles per hour. That's 18 times the speed of sound. It was coming in at the wrong angle, which meant that it was going to undershoot the runway in Orlando, and on top of that, it's coming in hot, so it was going to be going too fast. The crew, which is the people who fly it, and those are the people who are in the spacesuits.
Tell me who the crew is.
Those are the people in the spacesuits.
I know, I got that.
Well, you just
your message was loud and clear on that.
Okay,
I wanted something a little bit more intellectual.
People, one of those people flies it. The rest of the people conduct experiments.
I understand that, too.
She gets that, the man who flies it.
The man
I want something intellectual. That how do you know that that's the fact that they were definitely not going to make the runway? I want something intellectual
really,
on that point.
Because first of all, you know we're talking about a space shuttle, not an airport shuttle.
I understand that.
Right, because there's a difference. And a lot of people, you should see the people I tell
you. Are you trying to tell me that people don't know the difference between a space shuttle and an airport shuttle?
Let me start from scratch.
No,
space,
please don't. I understand the scratch.
Space
what I want. What I want is an intellectual argument that how do you know what was going on in that computer? How do you know they were going to undershoot the runway?
Well, the mother,
I want something a little bit more foundational than what auto means and who the space guys are in the spacesuits.
I know because Toby Bowe, who was associated with people who worked at JPL, seen some papers. And I have my sources. I'm a journalist. I can't tell. Otherwise, I'll be thrown in jail.
No, you won't.
Well, I mean...
You
the CIA?
No, but I mean, a journalist never exposes his sources, otherwise...
Otherwise...
Yeah, you just lose credibility and you may get fired, but you're not going to get thrown in jail.
Exactly.
Depending on your source, you might get, you know, a hit put on
but
you.
But you know I'm talking about outer space. So it wasn't flying around the Earth like a plane. You understand that?
Fully. Man,
okay.
I understood that in fifth grade.
All right, so it's coming in from outer space.
All right, look, thank you for your call. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Dowder says it's a possibility that the shuttle was auto-destructed by the crew so it wouldn't crash land in Florida. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Things the shuttle has headlights in case they run into a planet.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Jeff Dowder, who is a Jeff is a reporter at JPL and at Caltech, and he has theorized, talking to people, that possibly the shuttle was blown up or destroyed by the crew because they were undershooting Cape Canaveral and may have caused damage on the ground. Let's go over to Howard. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Howard.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this guy you got on here from Caltech don't know his head from his tail. I guarantee you that. Because, number one, space shuttle don't have a destruct system on it.
Well, how do you know?
Number two.
How do you know?
Number two.
How do you know?
Why do you think they call them astronauts and pilots? They fly the shuttle in.
No, they don't.
After it comes in so far, autopilot kicks off and the pilot flies.
That's right. Autopilot. That's a computer.
Right, but
that's
that comes in so far, and then the pilot takes over.
Yeah, and then
okay,
he blew the ship up.
And this part about it coming in too short, don't you know it's like a hang glider, okay, an aeroplane. It's got flaps, rudders, and everything. they can bring it up and slow it down.
Hey, because it's a glider. It's a glider. They don't have enough engine to get all the way to Florida.
Oh, yes, it's got a motor on it also.
No, it's got little tiny jets, but it does not have enough of an engine.
That's right. And they can bring the shuttle up enough to make it.
Okay.
Don't tell me that crap now.
Wait a second.
I know people down here in Tampa might
believe it. You're out of it, man.
People down here in Tampa might believe it, but if they do, I have 100 million acres of swamp to set up in Alabama.
You know, watching Star Trek, man, doesn't qualify you. There's no warp drive, you know. I mean,
don't insult the man.
No, I'm not trying to insult him, but I'm saying, first of all, when the mother computer...
And to tell me that everybody else sits around and eats carrot sticks?
What I'm saying...
And you were the one who said also, if my memory serves correct, that the computer does everything, that the pilot don't even fly the thing?
No,
I didn't say... What you said earlier.
No, sir, I said...
And then you contradicted yourself and says the pilot does some of the flying. You contradicted yourself there.
You did say that, Jeff.
No, I said they don't fly in outer space. And I've known astronauts to bring carrot sticks and celery sticks because there's nothing to do.
Bull. They do a lot of work up there.
So the computer's doing most of it. They're taking naps.
What if something breaks down? What do they do?
The computer fixes it. The computer fixes it.
Oh, yeah, right. And if the computer goes down, the man has to fix it. Well, the females could have fixed it also.
The computer
remember, there was two females on there.
Okay, what's that got to do with anything?
Either man or female fixes the problem.
The computer,
not the computer.
Is called the mother computer.
No, it's called a motherboard, not a mother computer.
Well,
a motherboard.
I'd like to know where you're getting your information. And...
If anybody knows anything about computers, you have a motherboard, not a mother computer.
All right. Then the other thing is, the computer flies it, the pilot pulls the auto-destruct button.
No. The pilot switches the switch and kicks it off of autopilot so he can fly it.
Yeah,
and he's the one and he takes it so far, then autopilot takes it into land.
Yeah, but they weren't going to land anywhere near the Cape. They were shooting all the way into Orlando. And they were going to blow up Orlando. That's why they blew it up.
That's what you say.
Well, does NASA have another explanation? No. Do they know what they thought they knew, but they don't? And the mother computer...
All the thing you're trying to do is cause a big argument and try to get a lot of other people, like NASA, and people get to think of that way to get them in trouble.
Do you know what NASA stands for?
Yeah, it has to do with space.
See, you don't. And this is what I'm talking about, Mr. Henry. It stands for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
That's right.
ADMI.
We know how to spell it.
All right. Which one of us is standing in front of JPL and which one of us is standing in a swamp swinging back wild turkey? See?
I'm in neither one. I'm in Tampa. Where you at?
I'm standing in front of JPL Pasadena. Jet Propulsion Laboratory. You're saying I'm not?
Yeah, I'm saying you're not.
Well, you're wrong. I'm here.
You're probably sitting in front of your couch, sitting in your lounge chair with a big old gut, drinking a beer, watching TV.
I don't think so, man, if I'm on the phone with you.
All right, look. The argument here is that they auto-destruct...
Look, buddy, you're lucky you didn't get a mouthful of nose cone. You're living in Tampa.
All right. 1-800...
And another...
Both of you. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
I don't...
What?
We're back on the air, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. The other thing I was going to say, Phil, is the shuttle may be landing because I think there's a possibility. There's a possibility.
Will you leave the bong alone for 5 seconds?
I'm sorry. There's a possibility that the shuttle was coming in so fast that it caused a bending or a ripping of the space-time continuum. Now, as a result, hold on, just one more, okay, man?
Go ahead.
Now, therefore, it'll land on Earth in the year 2041. Or it hit a wormhole and it...
Get out of here. It's all I need. That ought to be our little signature just break line. It's the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. 1-800. It'll land back on Earth in 2043. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Thanks for listening to the Phil Hendry Show. Listen to our website, too. You can listen to our website by going online and listening to our comedy archive. All of our long-form, short-form bits, the last 30 days' worth of shows, it's all there. By the way, it was just me doing the voice there of Jeff Dowder. And you can listen to all the stuff we do in our show in our 30-day archive. Get a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month. $6.95 a month, and all you have to do is go to philhendryshow.com, give us a credit card that's yours, and, you know, you can cancel it any time you want, but the $6.95 a month, it doesn't get any better than that. I don't care what website you're visiting for radio audio anyway. Ours is the best. To order any of our Best of the Phil Hendry Show CDs, you can go to our souvenir shop. All of the money benefits My Friend's Place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And we have raised close to $100,000 so far this year with the sale of the Phil Hendry Show CD. It's a double CD. And I know I don't stress that enough. I really should, because that's a buy. Two CDs for the price of one. This year, our double CD will only cost $20, just like the CDs did last year. And you can call if you don't want to go online. You can call a number if you can't go online, if you don't have a computer, if you're not conversant with the world of computers. Is there anybody out there that doesn't have a computer or doesn't know how to use one? I would love to talk to somebody. You know, you don't know if anybody's going to call and actually tell you the truth, though. But I didn't get my first computer until the spring of 1997. 1997, I bought my first computer. And I got online, and I was amazed. You know, I didn't know how to do it. I called friends. I said, what does it mean going on? What's a server? What's the server? And what should I get? AOL? Earthlink? And nobody could tell me. And I had a friend of mine who has been dealing with computers, has been programming computers, and has owned computers since the early 80s. I remember I went over to his house one day. This is back in like 81 or 82. He had a Texas Instruments computer with, instead of disk, it was a cassette tape. And he was programming it himself and entering data, and he works in that field, but I'd never seen anything like it. And then I remember the Apple computer commercial that came out during the Super Bowl in 84. I got the Super Bowl on videotape someplace. One of these days I ought to come in and show you guys that computer, show you guys that commercial, because it showed some chick running into some 1984 world where everybody's sitting and looking at Big Brother, and she's swinging a hammer, like an Olympic hammer, and she throws it right through the screen where the Big Brother face is and smashes it all to bits. And then the voiceover comes on and says,
coming, Apple, reinventing the world. Apple computers, reinventing your ass.
Anyway, call our hotline, 877-616-7445, 877-616-PHIL. Order the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD, or regret it till your dying day. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. There's a story that's been around for a while, and we haven't done much with it because there's only so many murder trials you can talk about. There's only so many murders being committed in America every day that are interesting, and there's so many of them that we pick and choose. Like the one that we think is really interesting is the Lacey Peterson story. We pick over it like the vultures that we are, and we present it up to you because, after all, even though it's the tragedy of a lifetime for some family, for you and I, it's entertainment, right? Right. Now we move on to Houston, Texas. where this woman, she's a dentist, and she finds her husband having an affair, and she sees him at this hotel, I believe. She's in her Mercedes-Benz, and she runs the guy over like 90 times. And I saw the videotape. She's going in a circle running this cat over. Just, it was wild. So, and of course, they got her on the stand, or at least the statement she gave to the police was this. I ran him over by mistake, and then I backed up, and he was still under the wheel, so then I just went ahead and parked on him. And she's trying to make it sound like it's an accident, where you look at this thing, she looks like she's in the Indy 500, just, the guy was a human speed bump. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's not a very smart thing to do because the Mercedes, the underwheel suspension is not that... Just joking. It brings up Mercedes-Benz, doesn't it? And I know Mercedes is a sponsor of mine on a lot of radio stations. So I don't think they'll have a problem with me saying Mercedes is a symbol of so many things to so many Americans. It's a very well-made car, there's no doubt about it. But beyond that, it does represent some level of having made it. And how far has your life fallen where you've got your Mercedes and cut to you running your husband over with it? Just exactly what happened between the day you bought that car and the day that you're running your husband over with this thing? Because, you know, probably was a great day you bought your Mercedes. That's the interesting thing about life. Yes, a Mercedes owner, happy and satisfied. Cut to, why you dirty... Composed and often smiling as she took the stand to defend herself at her murder trial, Clara Harris said David Harris initially admitted only to being modestly intimate with his receptionist. What does that mean? She kept her clothes on? Was it it was only done in the office? His daughter told her, however, that the relationship was much deeper. I went to slap him in the face, Clara Harris said. She said her husband, a martial arts expert, fended her off, and she ended up on the bathroom floor. Well, and I'm sure that the news source is not trying to be funny when they now write, the 10-year marriage ended a week later in the parking lot of a Houston hotel. Yeah, I bet you it did. When she ran him down after catching him with the other woman, Harris, 45, claims the death was accidental and that she shouldn't be charged with murder. Now, this gal that he was having the affair with, her name is Gail Bridges. I looked her up on the internet. She's got kind of an interesting life, too. She apparently has got a checkered past. Her husband, I think, threw her out or something. So she's got a history of anything that moves. No, I'm kidding. I don't know if that's it, but she's got a... She's got a real purple past, very checkered and purple, kind of a check purple thing. She's got a lot of skeletons in her closet. In other words, she has purple checkered skeletons that are in her closet. The 10-year marriage ended in the parking lot when she ran him down after catching him with the other woman. Harris, 45, claims the death was accidental and she shouldn't be charged with murder. Well, if you see this videotape, it's a difficult thing to accept because she's going around and around and around. How the hell is it an accident? Whoops, ran him over. Well, no, wait a minute, you idiot. Now I got to back up. Oh, I ran him over again. Let me go forward. No, I ran him over. Well, I'll just park here. Now you're on top of his body. Well, better go forward again. Well, you know what? I got to go out and get some cigarettes, so I better back up. And how about getting out and get the body out of the way? Well, I'm sorry. I forgot all about the body. Let me go park and get the body. Well, just ran him over again. That's what she's claiming. It's like... You know what you ought to be able to claim is sort of temporary stupidity instead of insanity. I was temporarily stupid, Your Honor. I had to get cigarettes. I was going out for groceries. I wanted to get a drink. I ran him over. We were best friends, she says. We were very much in love, I thought. Harris described how the couple met as associates at a dental office, married, had twin sons, and set up their own practices. She said the two were mature people who each survived divorce, adding, we felt like there was no better couple than us. She went on to say, I needed to get cigarettes, I needed to go out and get some groceries, and I wanted to kill him, and I didn't know which to do first, and so I wound up running him over 8 times. On July 16th, an employee told her that the 44-year-old husband had been seeing receptionist Gail Bridges. Harris said that after she and her husband fought in the bathroom, he agreed to marital counseling, and he watched through a glass door as she fired Bridges. So she came in and fired the receptionist. I asked her, what kind of relationship do you have with my husband? She said, I don't understand. Harris said, relating the conversation using a mocking, high-pitched voice to imitate her husband's soft-spoken lover. The Harrises spent the next 2 days discussing their relationship and how to fix it. At an airport bar, Harris said she took notes on a napkin, making a side-by-side comparison of her and her rival. Where David Harris said his wife was pretty smart and educated, he said his lover was sexy, big-busted, fantastic in the sack, great ass. I'm kidding. He said she was reasonably pretty, reasonably smart, and reasonably educated. Well, what else is the guy going to say? Okay, let's... Am I pretty? Yes, you are. How about her? Well, she's, you know, she's got larger breasts than you. And, okay, in the sack. You're all right. And how about her? Are you kidding? Dynamite. I mean, what... Okay, face. Your face is, you know, I can deal with it. When you're not looking at me. She testified her husband listed Bridges' advantage as communications and willingness to allow him to do anything he wanted to, and his body is very resilient. When you drive over it, it sort of retains its shape. Anyway, so I would say go out and get a Mercedes. Fantastic car. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. Show 1-800-449-8686.
I want to bring on Chris Norton. He is an aspiring film producer in Hollywood, California, to talk about Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson will be on television tonight in one of the first far-ranging interviews. Actually, this is a documentary that will be on television tonight featuring Michael Jackson. You feel that Mr. Jackson's been unfairly targeted, correct?
Yes, sir, I do. I want to say that I'm a Michael Jackson fan.
And why do you feel he's unfairly targeted? Here's a guy that sleeps with little boys. Did you read the latest today?
I did read the latest, yes, sir.
Okay. This guy still has little boys coming to his house for sleepovers. And he says, well, there's nothing wrong with throwing water balloons instead of having sex, but the little kid's sleeping over?
Okay, let's back up just a second, Mr. Henry. First of all, I think you need to understand something. And I would like to say I'm white, okay? So I don't have no racial prejudice. But I think there's a little bit of racism.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you why. Michael Jackson's getting his chops busted because he has little boys sleep over, okay? That's maybe good, it's maybe bad. What about Winona Ryder, who gets off for shoplifting? I don't see no documentaries about her. What about Pee Wee Herman, who gets caught fondling himself in a movie theater? I don't see no documentaries about him. Robert Downey Jr., he had cocaine, possession or whatever. I don't see no documentaries about him. Hugh Grant, who's having some, you know, sister go down on him in a car in Skid Row. I don't see no documentaries about that. So the reason why I say it's racism is because, Michael Jackson's black. He has a documentary because he's got a little boy sleeping over.
But the crimes you just mentioned, sir, are they? Do you think they're as bad as allowing children into your bed, sleeping with them?
Mr. Henry, I'm familiar with black people. I have been with many women, and many of them have been sisters. And I understand these people. And while Michael Jackson's not doing the right thing by these kids, I think we can forgive him because black people, you need to understand, have been held down in a country of the United States of America. They've been held down so long and have not been given opportunity that they don't know any better. And I mean, I don't want to disrespect him.
What do you mean they don't know any better?
Well, I don't want to disrespect him, but they're still socially rough around the edges, and that's what affirmative action is, giving them time to catch up.
All right, so what's wrong with the crimes that white people commit?
white people, since they have better education and they've had better upbringing and the money and they've had the power in the country for so long, should know better. So even though the crimes are not as bad, they really are worse than Michael Jackson because they should know better. See what I'm saying? Michael,
sir, you know, this is a lot of convoluted conversation having to do, you say that racism is at the heart of why Michael Jackson is more disliked by people than let's say, for instance, one of the people you mentioned.
All right, Winona Ryder.
Okay. She's white. She shoplifted. Michael Jackson was accused of and settled out of court for child molestation. That's not as bad as Winona Jackson or Winona Ryder stealing?
No, sir, it's not as bad.
Why? Because of racism?
Because black African people have been held back, okay, and they've been put upon. So they're not going to be as knowledgeable about what's bad.
Any African American or white American knows that molesting a child is wrong. They know it's wrong.
Yeah, a lot of them do, and maybe a lot of them don't. Why else is Michael Jackson, who makes a lot of money and has a big house, why else is he doing it? Because he's not clear on it yet. And I think a lot of African American people need to be allowed to catch up on that. Winona Ryder, hey man, Winona Ryder goes in and I think there's something worse about stealing. I mean, being a thief like Winona Ryder is, that's bad, man. That's messed up, you know, royally. I mean, it's one thing to maybe squeeze a kid's butt or whatever, and I don't mean to be graphic or anything.
Well, we don't have to be graphic, thank you.
All right, it's one thing to do that. It's another thing to go in and steal like a thief and run out of a store with stuff that isn't yours, or like what Jason Priestley did, driving down a street so fast you're running into garbage cans, you could run over some little tiny kid drunk, like you don't have no control. So yeah, I think there's a big difference between Winona Ryder and Michael Jackson. I think Michael Jackson needs to be understood on the level of being black.
Mr. Norton, you say you've dated a lot of black women?
Yes, I have. You have to understand something. I'm very good looking, so I've been out with a lot of women. I've been out with a lot of black people, and they're great people. And I think they should be allowed, you know, a little bit of leeway here. You know, either that or it's just going to get worse.
What is?
Well, I mean, we're going to have to legislate something. I think that what we need is a law that says, you know, we cut some slack for African Americans because they've been taking it in the shorts for so long.
Chris Norton, who is an aspiring film producer, talking about Michael Jackson and why people ought to get off of his back about, you know, having little boys stay with him. Because after all, Winona Ryder shoplifts, Pee Wee Herman fondles himself, Yasmin Bleeth gets busted for coke, Hugh Grant has a hooker, etc., etc. White folks do a lot worse. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. So white folks should know better because we've had the power for longer.
That's correct, yes, sir.
So if Michael Jackson wants to sleep with little kids, that's okay.
No, it's not okay, but his punishment shouldn't be as bad.
What should his punishment be?
Well, I think a fine or something, or public service. But remember, Phil, like a baby who isn't familiar with fire and how it can burn until he sticks his hand in it, black people don't know what cess with a young child is that bad until they do it. And
You know, you say you know black people.
Yes, sir.
And you say that you are sympathetic with them.
Yes, sir. I've been out with a lot of black women.
All right. Everything you're saying here makes black people sound like idiots who are socially retarded, who don't know that a child being molested is a bad thing.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, yes, you did.
I didn't know. I said the punishment shouldn't be as bad.
But Michael Jackson knows that what he does is bad.
He probably does, but I'm saying because of the way black people have been put down for century after century, he should have a fine.
And Winona Ryder, who shoplifted some money, or shoplifted some fur coats, what happens to her?
I think she should go to jail.
So a guy that fondles a kid gets a fine. How much is the fine?
I don't know, sir. That depends on the court. I'm trying to equalize things here, because I'm tired of Michael Jackson getting dumped on, and I'm also looking very much forward to the documentary tonight that shows that he's, you know, got his act together.
Well, you hope, okay? I mean,
we got to face up. The blacks need a chance to catch up. And the other thing, Mr. Henry, is because traditionally whites have had it easy. Michael Jackson's trying to bleach out, but I think he should restain because it's really blacks that should have it easier.
Did you say he's trying to bleach out, but he ought to restain?
Yes, well, it's just a term I'm using. But he is trying to bleach out, that's obvious. But you go down to Restoration Hardware, get stain or whatever you want to do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Because black people have had it tougher than whites in this country, should Michael Jackson, who has little boys sleeping over at his house, should he be allowed to do that because of the traditional suffering of black people, and should Winona Ryder go to jail for shoplifting? By the way, just so you know, I believe Winona Ryder should go to jail for shoplifting. I believe that Robert Downey Jr. should go to jail for cocaine possession. I believe that Yasmin Bleeth should go to jail for, possession of cocaine. And I believe that Michael Jackson should go to jail, and worse, perhaps, if he's convicted of any kind of aggression against or transgression against a minor.
See, that's racist. That's racist.
What are you talking about?
That's just racist, man, because, first of all, the black people...
And by the way, do I hear kids around you?
Mr. Renner, I'm sitting in a park right now, and no, I'm not fondling no kid.
All right, I'm curious. You're a movie producer. What are you doing at a park?
I'm here, just trying to chill, just getting some sun. I'm wearing some shorts. I put my sneakers in the car.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here with Chris Norton, aspiring filmmaker. By the way, you ran his list off of the resume he gave us, Janice. Are all of those adult films? So he does adult films is what he does. All right. Michael Jackson, as an African-American, he should be allowed to have little boys sleeping at his house because, guess what? They've had it tougher than whites. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show back with Chris Norton. He's a film producer in Hollywood, California, who is hoping to do a documentary himself on Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's on TV tonight, and will be in a documentary. Have you seen this, Mr. Norton?
No, I haven't. I look very much forward to it because I know that, Michael Jackson's a very significant entertainer in our society.
But you believe that Michael Jackson, if he sleeps with little boys or he fondles little boys, shouldn't be punished as bad as a Winona Ryder or a Robert Downey Jr. because they're white, he's black, he's had it tougher.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that once blacks get a better education and make more money, then we can begin to punish them for sleeping with little kids. Until then, we really have to let them just feel their way.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Debbie. Go ahead, Debbie. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, go ahead, Debbie.
I'm talking. Go ahead.
You're talking. Go ahead.
No, I was just telling you that I think that they need to step up the plate and stop using racial as an excuse.
Well.
And the bottom line is, it doesn't matter what race you are. If you commit the crime, you should be punished for.
Well, but see, I've dated a lot of black women, and I've seen how tough.
My ex-husband was a black.
Okay, so you
so
know
I
how
nothing,
tough.
I have nothing against them.
You know how tough it is for the African people. So if they slip up and fondle a kid, why punish them when there's so much more that can be done?
You know what? My line is breaking off, and I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you very well.
We can hear you, Debbie.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No. But the point is, it doesn't matter. I mean, I was a fan of Michael Jackson. I mean, see, I think he's a very talented person. But there's no excuse as far as whether been lack of education because they've been suppressed for so long. There is no excuse.
Well, I think Michael Jackson, instead of punishing him, we could do a lot better by introducing him to children teaching kindergarten or teaching daycare classes.
But the point is that you're setting precedent for other people to use excuse and say, oh, I am black, I lack of education, I don't know any better, so I get a slap in the hand. I can get away with murder and say it's racial.
Right. What about murder? What about murder?
In what way?
Well, okay, what if a black guy commits murder? What, does he go to the gas chamber?
No, I think what we do is set up a system of fines.
A guy that murders somebody is fined?
You can make it pretty steep. You can make it so steep the guy's... It's like slavery all over again, and that might make a lot of white people.
You know what? That's the same thing as saying the Jewish. What happened to the Jewish people when they've been wrong?
What?
Do they go around and say, oh, yeah, well, our people have been thrown in the oven?
Do they walk around
and say, we've been wrong?
But black people don't understand that murders, you're not supposed to do that. So then
you got to be putting me on.
No, not the way
you know what
do.
You need to take a look at yourself and see what you're saying, because this country is really tired of everything is a racial issue. People need to be accountable for their own action, regardless of who they are. They could be an Asian, they could be a white, they could be a black or a Latino. They need to be held accountable for their own actions.
Are you a China woman?
No.
You mean Chinese?
Chinese, no.
Oh, are you Asian?
No.
Is you Asian?
No.
Okay, if you don't agree with me, then why are you... You said the word rabbit funny.
Never mind.
Excuse me?
Never mind. Debbie, thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
And
how come you can't make your tongue work?
All right, thank you very much for your comments. 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton on the line. There's a time and a place, I think, for humor, Chris, and when people are trying to express their opinion.
I understand it, Mr. Henry, but I try to keep it light and lively. I've spoken to a lot of different groups about this.
Your comment that a black guy that murders should be subjected to a fine sounds ludicrous.
It sounds ludicrous to you because take a look at your arm.
I know, I'm white.
That's right. It's white skin smiling back at you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is... Kevin, go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Hey, man, you know, I don't know your name, but this is ridiculous. Now, I'm a 40-year-old African-American. I live out here in Colorado. And the extent of my education is a high school diploma. And I understand exactly what it is, what it means to fondle a kid or kill somebody. Don't sit there and did you do a poll or something? Is this scientific data? There's 23 or 30 million black people in this country. Now, how in the world are you going to speak for us all? And
well,
I really am insulted that you're speaking for me.
I've dated a lot of African-American women.
But, man, so what? So have I, okay? Probably more than you. I'm black myself, okay? Now, so where is...
Okay, let me ask you a question. You said you're black?
Yes.
Okay. If you found yourself with a 7-year-old boy, is that bad or good?
Sir, you know what? I have two daughters, 9 and 11, okay?
Is that bad?
I also have a wife.
Is that bad or good?
I like sleeping with my wife, okay?
Wait a minute.
If a man touches, I don't care what color he is, touches a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old boy in an inappropriate way, that's
okay.
Wrong.
Okay.
Now, how did I know that? Here I am. I'm a black guy.
Okay, you understood
it. Now, how
it.
In the world did I know that?
All right, you understood it then. Okay, that's good. Because... All I'm saying is, as a result of racism and slavery, black folks haven't been able to catch up on all the rules.
Excuse me.
What?
Excuse me. You know what?
You mean they didn't? The black folks didn't get the memo?
Well,
I can't even believe you got this guy in the show.
Okay?
No, I'm not even gonna.
Sir,
I'm not
sympathetic.
Listening to the show no more.
I'm sympathetic.
Idiotic.
I'm a sympathetic to the African people. I'm sympathetic. Look at, see, Mr. Henry.
That man hung up. And I've just lost a listener.
That's not my fault.
Well, what even if you found yourself with a 7-year-old?
I'm asking questions. I have done research of the black culture. I've been out.
You've been out with a lot of black people, a lot of black women.
That's correct. I've seen. I'm going to get you, sucker. I've seen Blackula. I've seen Scream Blackula Scream.
You've seen what? Scream Blackula Scream. So you've done an in-depth study of black culture by seeing Scream Blackula Scream. Is that it?
I think, Mr. Henry, you need to back off and understand that you're a little bit out of your element.
1-800-449-8686. Here is it Job?
Job.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
What is his name again?
My name's Chris Norton, sir.
Mr. Chris Norton. I'm
yes.
48 years old, and I'm a black, American, Haitian, African.
Right.
Let me say this to you. I'm a school teacher, and I'm also an educator. The Lord has blessed me to know him. God has created all men equal. You offended the United States Constitution when you talk like that.
What am I doing wrong? I'm trying to get everybody.
You're doing wrong because you can't speak for your own people. You can't even speak for nobody. Let me tell you what happened. You are willing to be educated. You don't belong to this show. This is an educative show. You have the right of speech. But remember, you try to say the black people are the lowest class people in understanding. They have low IQ. They cannot understand why molesting is. This is a disease.
What about
that's
Michael
condemned
Jackson?
By the Bible.
What about
in
Michael
the beginning?
What about
this
Michael
is a disease that's condemned by the God we trust. Listen to me, please.
What about
now,
Michael Jackson?
We went to school with it just like you. And then Michael Jackson himself, he knew he was judged for such a thing. He has so much money, he has the highest lawyer.
What?
And I do believe, I don't know if I'm accurate, he has spent over $40 million to free him from that mess.
Hey.
He should see kids on the street and say hi to them.
You teach
school? He should give them money because he is
sick. I can't understand.
But not all black Americans are sick.
Hey, have
sick
you ever heard that tune, Pass the Dutchie?
And the word African American, I tell you the truth now, I call myself an American.
Tuna?
We are American. We're not dumb. The color is not matter anymore.
All right, well,
the woman you sleep with, there may be the lowest class woman in the world.
No, I just don't try
to understand. You need
to understand,
man. Listen to me now.
Job, that's very good. We've got to take a commercial break.
The lady who is...
They got to take a commercial break.
All right,
you disgrace everybody in the United States.
1-800-44-9. You heard him, Chris. Chris Norton, who believes that Michael Jackson should not be held to the same standard of law because he's African-American and he's had it tougher, so don't prosecute him for fondling little boys. 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I think what's happening right now is racism against me.
My callers are being racist against you?
Yes, sir.
Why?
I'm sorry, tonight, let's hear Michael Jackson explain why he has little boys sleep with him. I'm sure there's a good reason for it. He may be afraid to be alone. He may be emotionally, you know. Look, black people have been beaten up and hammered down and had boards. You don't know what's happened to black folks. I do. On account I date a lot of black women, and I've been to their houses for dinner and everything, or what have you. And they can be scared, so scared, that they need, like, even a kid to be sleeping next to them. Doesn't mean sass. And that's the thing you need to understand. It don't mean sass.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Corinne, go ahead.
Where do you come out with this? You've dated black women, so you know what we're like?
No, I've dated African-American women, so I've been in the homes, African-American homes, and I understand about it.
Honey, you haven't been in my home. None of my sons would even think about touching a seven-year-old, and they all grew up black. I grew up black. My family grew up black from back in the old country,
okay.
Honey.
So your kids understand that it's against the law. But what I'm saying is that black people should be allowed to get a break because of the racism and slavery.
I don't want any black man to have a break if he touches one of my granddaughters because he's black and we're black.
Yeah, but Michael Jackson, it seems, is only touching white kids. And it's not right, but it's a bonus for black people. And
oh, come on. Will you? It's a bonus for black people?
The law is the law. Children are children, and if you touch them, that's wrong.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I don't care what color you are, black, white, red, or purple. It's wrong.
Even if you're black?
I don't care what color you are. If you touch a child, you are wrong. You are sick.
Well, then how come
you need help?
Well, you know what?
And you should be somewhere where you can't touch any more children.
Okay, then how come Michael Jackson's records sell millions and billions? You know why? Because people still love him. You know why? Because his records sell. And you know why? Because people love him.
And you know why? And you know why? What in the hell is with you?
Well, why do you like Michael Jackson, Corinne?
I don't like Michael Jackson. I stopped listening to him when the accusations came out and when they got more and more founded.
Oh, you stopped listening when the accusations came out, but not when he got found guilty.
I don't listen to him now, and I have his records, and I enjoy them, and someday I'm sure Thriller in vinyl will be worth a lot of money, and you know what? That's money I don't need.
I bet you've danced the night away to tunes of his.
Once upon a time, but not anymore.
See? People are waking up, Mr. Norton. Michael Jackson is not allowed to do that.
Well, you think that Winona Ryder should go to jail?
Yes.
That's racist?
That's just theft.
That's racist.
Because she cut tags off and put things in her pocket and ran?
Because she's white.
I don't care what color she is.
Well, you get out of here. Thanks, Corinne. But you understand? That lady, she argued really good with you.
No, no, no.
Yeah, she did. She made great points.
No, I got the better of her.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Here's Stephanie. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi.
I would like to know, what makes you the spokesperson for black people? That's what I want to know, because you've dated black women. What makes you, you know, the spokesperson?
I feel in a lot of ways that I understand black people even more than black people understand, you know, black people.
Okay, because you've dated... Okay, I don't mean to cut you off.
Okay.
I don't mean to cut you off.
Okay.
But because you've dated black women, you've been to their houses and things like that, and you claim that you know black women, you know what they went through and things like that, so therefore you should pity us? We don't want pity, we just want equality. We don't want a white guy coming on air saying, oh, free Michael Jackson, you know, give him a break because he's black and he's stupid and he doesn't know anything.
Well,
you sound very ignorant. I just want to tell you, you sound very ignorant.
The black women that I've dated are big fans of his.
The thing is, I thought this was about Michael Jackson, but then you go on this black pity thing. Nobody wants to hear, no African-American wants to hear a white guy get on radio and say black people have been through so much, they need to catch up, they're slow, they're ignorant, a lot of them don't make a lot of money and things. That's just ridiculous.
I never said that. I just said that they need to be affirmative action on account of the things that black folks have been to. I've been to all the Pam Grier movies. I have seen I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
Let's get off the I'm Gonna Get You Sucker. Let's get off of the little movies of Pam Grier.
Well,
come
no,
on now.
I'm just saying.
Let's try to talk a little bit more educated. You're
okay.
Really.
I was the only white guy who went to see Malcolm X of everybody that I know. Because.
So what? So what? You got this cat up there at Never Never Land, whatever that is, and he's got these kids in bed with him.
Wrong is wrong, and right is right.
Wrong. I'm just saying he should be fined.
Fined? So in other words, the guy is busted for molesting kids, and he gets a healthy fine.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like the savior, when you date these black girls, do you feel like you're their savior, like you're really doing them a favor by dating them because you're their ear, they've been so oppressed and things like that they need you around? Does that make you feel good? Is that why you date these black women?
No, no. One of the things, first of all, you have to understand, I am very good looking, so women do enjoy my company, but I do dance pretty good, and black women kind of go, wow, for a white guy, you can really move it, and stuff like that.
Okay, so obviously you've never dated a woman who's had her thing together, who's maybe an attorney or someone who has everything together. You've dated, you know, women of maybe a lesser class, not saying that there's nothing wrong with that, but black women who's really going through things and have a lot of issues, and you feel like, you know what I'm saying, they've gone through so much. You've never really actually dated someone on top of their game. I can see that from what you're saying.
What do you mean?
You've never dated a woman in a certain caliber that has an education, obviously, that's been, you know, that has a career. You seems like you dated, you know, women that are, you know, maybe, you know, going through little issues and things like that. And you keep naming all these movies and these low budget movies, okay, with the low budget white movies also. But it's like you saying that.
I saw Walking Tall with Billy Jack, which is the white version of Blackula. Or, I mean, no, that's a vampire movie, but...
Oh, will you stop? Stop with the movies.
No, I'm just... See, I have dated black women of all kinds. Some have been them hoochie mamas with the long fingernails. Some have been...
What do you mean, hoochie mama? What is it with you? Everything out of your mouth.
No, no, I'm saying I've dated lawyer black women. I've dated women that are like, you know, what you're talking about, Willis kind of women. Everything. See what I'm saying?
You know what? You sound like you have a racism in you also. I just want to say that.
No, ma'am.
Oh, yeah.
Why, how could you say that?
You're stereotyping. Everything's a stereotype. you know, Little Hoochie Mamas and, you know, Willis and all that. You know, you're stereotyping.
Well, what am I supposed to say when she goes through two cans of Aquanet before she even gets in the car?
First of all, you're wrong, because black women don't use Aquanet. That's a white woman's hairspray,
yeah,
okay?
That's mostly
well,
Latinas,
women don't
you
use
know.
Aquanet.
And the
okay?
other thing about black women, they got the best butts that have ever been down the pike.
The best what?
Butts.
All right, pal. This is done. This is done. Stephanie,
I tried to get something out of him, but he's really ignorant. I don't know what to say.
I got soul in my hole.
Yeah, shut your mouth. What a stupid jackass. Now then, I was going to... Get out of here! 1-800-4... 1-800-4... What I wanted to say with... I want to tell you about...
Girl...
Jesus. Girl... Yeah, okay. Girl! All right. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, that was me doing the voice of Chris Norton in the preceding bit. Hey, listen to our website. Don't just visit it, listen to it. If you get a backstage pass, you can hear all of our classic archive material down through the years. Get yourself a backstage pass, only $6.95, available at the Phil Henry website, philhenryshow.com, philhendrieshow.com. Go to our souvenir shop. We got a new item. It's called the official Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club Polo Shirt. If you're a Bobby Dooley fan, if you're into the Dooleys, if you dig all the disgusting things that Steve and Bobby do and their three sons, their three antisocial sons over there at Western Estates, you're going to want to get this official Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club Polo Shirt. The shirt won, worn by all of those snobs that live at Western Estates. It's the official Western Estates crest. It's richly embroidered on the left chest. It's the same insignia you'd see emblazoned on the gates of the community if you were lucky enough to get anywhere near them. Comes in small, medium, large, extra large, and double extra large. Get it today. It's in our souvenir shop on our website. I really encourage you. This is going to be a great shirt for the summertime. And I see a lot of you guys just hanging around the poolside bar wearing one of these as summer approaches. And if you'd like to get our CDs, you can order them online as well. Any one of our CDs, the money goes to benefit My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. They do the greatest work, and every time you buy a CD, every nickel goes to them. There is a shipping and handling charge, but the rest of the money goes to My Friend's Place. We don't make a nickel on any of our CDs, and we're very happy to be associated with them. If you'd like, you can call 877-616-7445 and order it by phone. All right. Here's 27 covert female signs that tell you she wants you. This is from Men's Health Magazine. This is supposedly foolproof stuff, Charlie. So dig this. These are 27. What happened to number 27, Janice? I only have 26. Oh, well, doesn't matter. 27 covert female signs, things that she will do that tells you she is totally enjoying your company. She will be in your arms. She will be in your bed by nightfall. When she calls you by your first name instead of your nickname, because she's not one of your buddies and she doesn't intend to be one. Now, if you've got a stupid nickname like BJ or RJ or Smitty or whatever your dumbass name is, you know, I don't hang with guys with nicknames, although the Swede's got a nickname. Do you know guys with nicknames? Shorty, Melonhead, Treetop, things like that? Only in jail, you know. I knew a guy when I was in, well, never mind about my jail experience, but, so she calls you, my wife calls me Philip, and Chris, your wife calls you Christopher. That's when you know she is your mama. That's when you know you need your mama. Number two, she applies lip gloss often, but not in your presence. If you witness makeup application of any sort, start calling yourself Chandler. You're officially a friend. Good point. She does not want to see you straightening herself up, pulling her pants up, straightening her brassiere, putting her makeup on. When she starts smiling and going, "Dead lipstick on my teeth, huh?" Yeah, thanks a lot, honey. Number three, when she rubs her lips together often in your presence. I don't know what that means. What is that? What is she trying to do? Is she telling you she wants to kiss you? She's rubbing her lips together like, What the hell is that? I don't get that. Number four, she sits at the edge of her seat when she's talking to you. Number five, it's your birthday, or it's her birthday, and she's still talking to you 10 minutes after you brought her a drink. So in other words, if she's with her girlfriends in the bar, and it's her birthday, so she's there at a party with her girlfriends, right, and you bring her a drink, and she's still talking to you 10 minutes after, obviously she's more interested in you than she is with her fat friends. All right, number six, instead of Merlot, she orders a Corona beer, which conveniently is served in a bottle, the better to sexually sip from. What? Oh, sure. You know who wrote this? Lisa Jones. This is a guy wrote it. A guy named Lisa Jones wrote this. What do you mean? Maybe you do, Lisa. So what are you talking about? You lip lock a Corona? You're like going up and down with it? Oh, hi, let me just have a beer. Yeah. God, starts licking the end of it, licking up and down the side of the freaking neck on the thing. Gee, are you okay? Do you like the beer? Why? Because you're not drinking it. You're sucking the neck of that bottle. Her speech pattern is starting to resemble Kirsten Dunst's. I don't know what that sounds like, so that was lost to me as well. Number eight, you smoke, meaning we smoke. She doesn't smoke, but she's still talking to you. That is definitely a sign. Number nine, she touches you for any reason more than once. So if you're talking to her in a bar, she reaches out and women always reach out and touch, don't they? Guys don't do that. Women are always touching. Number 10, she laughs frequently and nervously, even amid humorless conversation. Yeah, must mean she's nervous being around you. She shouts in your ear because it's so loud in here, I can't hear you. She uses your name often in conversation. She tells you that you look like some particular celebrity, which means she thinks both you and the celebrity are very hot. Well, what if she says, you know, you remind me a lot of Ned Beatty. I just don't know what that was. You remember Ving Rhames in Pulp Fiction? No, I don't. I never saw it. You remind me a lot of him. She brings up antimatter and black holes or any other such pseudo-brainy and vaguely sexy topic for discussion. Oh, bullcrap. The place is a rod fest, yet she's talking to you and you alone. Get out of here. This is sexier. What?
I was wondering.
You wanted to touch me?
Can you keep on?
Oh, yeah, sure. We can sneak away to a public bathroom.
Got a lot of power.
I know, man. Yeah, you're looking good, baby.
Make me feel like that.
Oh, thank you. I just,
you make me feel
I'm,
like
I'm a little older than seven, though. I notice you're using my name often in conversation. When I was in conversation?
I was wondering if I could go.
1-800-449-8686. Vagisil.